I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. And Marlo for the Hudson Institute is in Benghazi. That is a town originally of about 750,000, now swelled with refugees, that is at the center of the breakaway province of Cyrenaica. It is where the governance is, such as it is, of Cyrenaica and of the free people of Libya. The council asks and the military at the council asks not to be called rebels. However, in the newspapers, you will see them all referred to as rebels. This is the rebel headquarters. This is a large seaside town. And Marlo has traveled there overland from Egypt with her colleagues, driving in from the Egyptian border through Tobruk all the way on the coastal road to Benghazi. She is about 100 kilometers or less north of the fighting around Brega and Ajabiya. The most recent information, which will update momentarily, is that the rebels, that's the Free People of Libya, and NATO have pushed back against Gaddafi's mercenary army at Ajdabiya and around Brega to the south of where Anne is right now. And a very good day, good morning to you in Benghazi. First, let's establish where you are. You're calling from, I'm calling you at an internet cafe. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, the Al Jazeera Cafe.
The Al Jazeera Cafe. And the people of Benghazi are active and in the streets, and they're very young, and you've reported to me a festive mood. Is that correct?
Yes, well, thousands of them demonstrating today in front of the Tibesti Hotel, where the delegates from the African Union were meeting with the Transitional Council to present Gaddafi's idea for a negotiated end to the fighting. The rebel council, the Transitional Council, has rejected that proposal, saying there is no role for Gaddafi or his family in a future Libya, and that his promised ceasefire cannot be trusted. He broke those promises before. I was able to speak with several young Libyan diplomats after the press conference in which the head of Transitional Council presented his conclusions. And these diplomats told me that while they expect a negotiated end of some sort to the fighting, it will not be this kind of end. It will not be one that allows Gaddafi to negotiate the terms of his departure. He has lost that right. They almost uniformly believe, however, that there cannot be a military solution to this conflict. There's a stalemate right now. And the area, what they call the Old Crescent around Brega and Ajamia, is not going to be decisively in the opposition's hands anytime soon. In fact, one of these diplomats told me he thinks it may take as much as 6 or 7 months to bring a final resolution and a unified government for the whole of the country.
The Transitional National Council, did they meet with the president of South Africa, Zuma?
Yes.
And what did he have to tell them?
True.
What was his guidance? What did he say would be best for all? Did he have a position?
The Transitional Council spokesman did not say exactly what he thought should happen next. But he did say that this proposal not acceptable and, you know, it's not on the table as far as they are concerned. Interestingly enough, there was a press conference, as I mentioned. In fact, my voice was on Al Jazeera asking questions, but a reporter from Al Jazeera asked a question, which was, what about the fact that the members of the African Union who are delegates to Libya come from countries that are supplying mercenaries to Gaddafi? the head of the council denied that that in particular was a motivation for denying their proposal. But it certainly can't help. There's a great deal of resentment against African mercenaries here. And there were thousands and thousands of people protesting in front of the Tibesti Hotel, and I think some of the anger was not just at the fact that they didn't want any, which Gaddafi has a role in, but that the countries that proposed it were countries who were supply fighters to Gaddafi. You know, there is that element. It's a complicated situation. But as far as the opposition government is concerned, the African Union proposal is dead in the water. I would suspect there will be another and different proposal from a different source. You know, I think it was a poison chalice. You know, I don't think that that was a very good choice of messenger.
And
the transitional council.
I'm speaking with Anne Marlowe. She's in Benghazi in an internet cafe following the news that the African Union representatives are presenting to the transitional national council a ceasefire and negotiated end from Gaddafi. This African Union delegation made up of people from representatives from South Africa, Uganda, Mauritania, Congo Brazzaville, and Mali. All of those, or most of those countries, have been associated with anecdotal reports of mercenaries hired by Gaddafi to fight against the free people of Libya in Cyrenaica and headquartered in Benghazi. You can follow the obvious complication. However, Anne, I note that Anders Fogh Rasmussen, the head of NATO, has said that any ceasefire must be credible and verifiable. How do the people, the leadership in Benghazi, how do they interpret credible and verifiable? What do they want?
I think what they want is essentially an unconditional surrender by Gaddafi, his departure and his family's departure from power, again, without conditions, facing trial. You know, I think there's a very strong feeling among people in the council that he should not be killed, that he should stand trial with regular judicial proceedings, transparent, you know, a lawyer, all of that, bring out all of his crimes, document them, and let him stand judgment, let other people from the regime stand judgment. What I'm hearing a lot about now is that there are many, many crimes. There's torture, there's disappearances, political prisoners. I met a woman completely by chance yesterday evening, who had been imprisoned for 1 year for some basically stray comments, and whose son was given a 10-year prison sentence for writing an article that was considered seditious. And a lot of people like that who are going to come forward, people who've lost family members. You know, it's going to be an extensive proceeding to document his crimes against the Libyan people, his crimes against humanity. And that's something that I think people here very much want to happen. They do not want him to disappear into exile with ill-gotten gains.
And there have been reports, and they're all anecdotal throughout these last days, that the mercenary forces that Gaddafi is paying and that are proceeding have run up against resistance from the rebel forces, the free people of Libya, and NATO forces, and coordination with NATO on the ground. Can you help us understand these anecdotal reports that NATO has people on the ground, boots on the ground, helping the rebel forces?
They deny it. I spoke yesterday with Ahmed Bouki, who is the military spokesman for the Transitional Council, one-on-one for about 40 minutes, and he denied that they were getting arms from the United States. He denied that there were American boots on the ground. He denied that there were American boots on the ground. He sounded convincing to me. What didn't sound convincing to me when he was trying to explain what his strategy was. You know, I said, well, how are you guys going to win? He said the rebel army, he did not use those words, the Free Libyan Army, has not yet taken the field. They're waiting for proper weapons. They do not have proper weapons. When I asked, well, who's going to give them the weapons and when are they going to arrive, he was extremely vague. He did not seem to have a plan or not plan he was willing to share with a journalist. Combined with this, I'm thinking that the people he works for, the military leaders, units, don't believe that there will be a military end to this conflict. They probably believe that the fighting is not going to enter a more intense phase. Perhaps it will enter a less intense phase as some form of diplomacy enters the picture.
So what we're looking at is a partition of the country while diplomats from the NATO, from African Union, from the United Nations continue to talk for 6 to 7 months or more. Is that a vision that you've gotten in Benghazi?
Well, no one is talking partition. In fact, there are, dozens and dozens of signs around, say, Libya, one country, Tripoli, its heart. Everyone is insisting that Tripoli is going to be the capital of free Libya. And people are not talking East and West, although obviously Eastern Libya are speaking of Misrata, of other areas in the mountains near Tunisia as being part of free Libya. They do not consider that free Libya and Eastern Libya same. It's in contrast maybe with Afghanistan, people here seem to have a strong sense of nationalism, a strong sense of belonging to country. They are, after all, from one ethnic group. The different tribes, I've been told, do not speak different dialects or incomprehensible dialects. They're not of different ethnic stock. They don't see each other that way. So perhaps I'm being the bill of goods, but people here are insisting that what we saw in Iraq will not happen in a free Libya. You will have ethnic reprisals. You will not have ethnic going on after Gaddafi leaves the scene.
And how do the shops and the gasoline stations, how do they look to you? What are they being resupplied with? And who is bringing money into the Benghazi?
Well, remember, there is a more or less open border with Egypt. I asked, for example, where the ubiquitous revolutionary souvenirs were made. There's some, very sophisticated T-shirts, baseball caps, buttons, that sort of thing. And I was told they were being made in Egypt and brought here to sell. Gasoline was abundant and extremely inexpensive. I'm trying to figure out how much it cost. It cost something like a few cents a liter. It's nearly free. We refueled on the way in and didn't seem to be a problem with that. I'll tell you one thing they've not run out of is coffee. Everyone here seems to drink about 15 small cups of espresso a day. I've never seen as coffee-obsessed a culture in my life, and that includes Italy. I think Starbucks has a big future here in free Libya. Very difficult to find open restaurants. I wandered around for about an hour today looking for a place to eat and eventually got a mysterious chopped meat sandwich for about 35 cents. So far, so good.
Ann Marlowe of the Hudson Institute, she is traveling. She's in Benghazi, which is the headquarters of the Transitional National Council. The news of the moment is that there were demonstrators at the hotel today when the African Union representatives, led by Jacob Zuma, the president of South Africa, presented Gaddafi's offer for a ceasefire, which was rejected, we're told, as not credible. The head of NATO Rasmussen asked for a credible and verifiable ceasefire. The fighting is well to the south for now. And the status quo ante in Benghazi is lots of coffee, lots of talk on the seaside in the Mediterranean coming May. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.